Welcome to Adults Do Disney.
I'm Lawrence.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are talking Disney.
That's right.
That's what we're going to do.
So, last night, Lawrence suddenly went, Christina Hendricks! Which isn't the first time, but it's because he'd had an idea.
Yeah.
And that idea spawned this podcast today. So, take it away, Lawrence.
Yeah, I had a bit of an epiphany. So, in the original Pirates of the Caribbean ride, circa 1960-something, 1965... There is a scene which was in the ride for a very long time of a load of pirates auctioning off women, essentially.
How it should be.
Yeah. So you have a load of ladies tied up and a pirate with a sword sort of saying, what will I hear for these beauties? Why is he Irish? What's a pirate voice? What will I hear for the...
That's still Irish.
Hey, it's still Irish. I can't go... Okay, so the pirate was Irish. And there's a sign up that says, take home a wench for a bride. And it's all very questionable. And there's... What does he say?
Well, it's very obvious time.
Yeah. What does he say?
Because in the 60s, women did get auctioned off on a regular basis.
There's a nice little video, in fact, of Walt taking around... Who is it? Miss Disneyland?
Yeah, find this on YouTube. So yeah. Walt himself taking Miss Disneyland, who appears to be dressed in a riding habit.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
With a very strange kind of, like a hairdo that looks like a riding helmet. Yeah. Or might be a riding helmet.
I think
helmet.
It is a riding helmet.
Oh, is it? It's not just a very rigid beehive.
Yeah. So anyway, the two of them are walking around the big model in the Imagineer's shed of what the whole Pirates of the Caribbean ride is going to look like. And he takes her past this particular scene where they're sort of auctioning off the women. And there's a big fat woman as one of the brides for sale. And he says, and this is the biggest bargain of them all.
Yeah, it's pretty sexist. And at one point, Miss Disney says something like, are you going to do that with audio animatronics?
Oh, yeah. And Walt goes, yeah, she's sharp.
Listen to her using words.
It's the most Mad Men thing ever.
She's almost human.
she's not just a pretty face.
Well, we can forgive them. It's fine.
Yeah, it was the 60s. Anyway, recently, this dubious scene has been updated in all of the parks, I believe, but the first one to do it was Paris, and now in Disneyland Paris, they are no longer auctioning off women; they're auctioning off treasure to the pirates, and the redhead.
They're auctioning treasure to the pirates.
Yeah, they're selling it off to other pirates.
Oh right,
so it's
what,
pirates,
like some kind of pirate marketplace.
Yeah. So it's like pirates are like exchanging booty.
But,
pardon the pun.
But there.
But
don't pirates take treasure by force? They don't buy treasure. That makes them bankers, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe it does. Maybe they've crossed over into men of the law. But I don't know.
Well, that's receiving stolen goods, I suppose. Isn't
I
it?
Guess so.
Anyway.
Well, they're divvying up the treasure. And anyway, the redhead, who was famously the prettiest bride for sale in this auction.
Mm.
So all the other pirates are going, we want the redhead, famously. The redhead is now a pirate herself.
So Christina Hendricks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God, how good would that be? I really want to see a new Pirates of the Caribbean film starring the brilliant Christina Hendricks as the redhead.
And she should be, Christina Hendricks is great.
Yeah.
So seeing her as a pirate captain
would be
fan-dabby-dozy.
Have you seen Firefly?
Yes.
Yes. So do you remember her character in Firefly?
Oh, no.
Well, she turns up and...
maybe I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, basically, spoiler alert. Christina Hendricks' character in Firefly, when you first meet her, and you think she's a sort of very innocent farm girl type character... And spoiler alert, it turns out actually she's like a double-crossing space pirate, and she's very cool. And I just think she'd be so well-suited to play a swashbuckler, with or without Johnny Depp, frankly. We could do with or without him at this stage.
Yeah, well, she's got history as a pirate then, so...
Yeah, she'd be an excellent pirate.
Yes.
Which led us on to think, what other Disney parks attractions and rides could become great films?
Yeah, I mean, they have tried this just to cover the whole history of attractions into movies. They have also done this with The Haunted Mansion, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I remember that film.
And it scored a quite incredible 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, if my memory serves me correctly, and my memories of this film are threadbare at best, it was terrible.
Yeah,
it was a very bad film.
It's a 2003 film with Eddie Murphy, Terrence Stamp, so, you know.
Was he in it?
Yeah.
I don't remember him
Jennifer
at all.
Jennifer Tilly.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, these people, you know, good actors, but all of them have been in bad films as well. And The Haunted Mansion was a bad film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apparently it was neither funny nor scary. And, you know, it's got to be one of the two.
It really does. As I recall, though, they stuck very closely to the content of the original Haunted Mansion ride.
What, so it's 3 minutes long and...
yeah, with no plot.
Yeah.
But no, there were so many recognisable images. Like the singing barbershop quartet heads.
Oh, how did they go?
When the cryptids creak and the tombstones quake, spooks come out for the swinging wig. So that song was in it. And I remember he walked into the garden and the four statue bust heads were there in the positions that they are in on the ride singing that song.
I think they were trying to make it so family friendly that they forgot to put any of the charm that the actual ride has.
Yeah, or any plot.
Yeah, I mean, you do need plot. Yeah. That's the thing.
That's the thing that films need. I've just remembered a little factoid about those heads.
Oh, yeah.
Fact alert. So, you know the film Hercules?
Yes.
Do you remember the characters in Hercules that are the muses?
Yes.
So they're five sort of gospel singers who act like a sort of a Greek chorus, don't they? They pop up painted on the sides of urns. Sometimes they're statues, sometimes they're all sorts of different things. And they pop up and kind of narrate the action in a kind of cool, sassy way.
Mm.
And in the scene where Meg is walking around in amongst all of the statues, going, at least out loud, I won't say I'm in love, all of that song.
Mm.
There's a moment where they are in the exact shape of those busts from the Haunted Mansion.
Oh.
So four of them are just like a kind of head and shoulders bust. And then the little fat funny one, who's always mucking around, she's lying on her side with her head in her hand, like she's lying down with her head resting in her elbow, but her head is separate to her neck, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the exact position that the Haunted Mansion busts have. So that's a little tribute to the Haunted Mansion within the animation of Hercules.
Hey. Which, and that tiny moment is more successful than the whole film.
So it seems. Hercules is a good film, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's one that bears watching again, actually.
It does. There's a very weird... So the character design of Hercules is interesting because it's by a guy called Gerald Scarfe, who is an English satirical cartoonist. He's like a political cartoonist. And he did in the 70s and 80s lots of very, very angry, really violent, nasty, vicious cartoons of... like British political figures from
How did he come to be doing a Disney film?
I have no idea. It's a really weird choice. And the only other sort of animated film that I'm aware of him really having anything to do with is that Pink Floyd film, The Wall. It's so, you know, with Bob Geldof.
Yeah,
you know that film?
Wow, you're a real source of.
Yeah, I'm full of these weird facts tonight. But yeah, it's such a strange choice for a Disney film. But that's why the characters in Hercules have this odd look. They have a very distinctive look in that film that you don't see.
Well, they were going for the look that comes directly off the urns, isn't it?
I guess so. But it's also, if you look at the drawings of Gerald Scarfe, they've got this very particular look, the kind of swirly, very odd proportion, particularly Hades, the character Hades, the villain with the fiery head.
Yeah.
The shape of his face is very Gerald Scarfe. And it doesn't look like that. The animation in that film, the character design, doesn't really look like any other Disney film, and that's why.
This makes me want to see it again.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good film.
So, talking of Haunted Mansion, they are actually making a film out of Mystic Manor, aren't they?
Well, this is rumoured.
So Mystic Manor is the one in Hong Kong.
Yeah, so Mystic Manor is Hong Kong's answer to the Haunted Mansion, and it's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, because am I right in saying it doesn't have ghosts, but the house itself is alive?
So the house is kind of... the house is alive, full of enchanted objects. And it's got a very different feel. Like, it's bright, it's light, it's fun and funny. It's not... it doesn't have the darkness of the other rites.
Yeah, and this must be a cultural thing, because ghosts in China have a very... Well, they have a different place in
the culture.
Landscape than they do with us.
Yeah.
Because there are still festivals and things surrounding the idea of ancestor worship and ghosts and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so there's a ghost festival, in fact. But apparently the ghost festival is very similar to Dia de los Muertos.
The Mexican Day of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the subject of the new Pixar film Coco.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe, because I thought maybe Mystic Manor had a different treatment with the ghosts and everything to be culturally sensitive.
Right.
But then if they're doing Dia de los Muertos, sorry, can't speak.
Los Muertos. Los
Muertos. I mean, I sound drunk when I'm speaking English.
At the best
so,
of times.
Yeah, yeah. Then maybe they can, maybe they are going to approach the Chinese cultural ghost.
Well,
thing
it would be kind of in the recent Disney tradition of getting very deep into the sort of culture of a particular country to like Moana and so on, and sort of really use that as the kind of springboard for all the characters and the themes of the movie.
So what have you heard about the Mystic Manor film?
Well, there's just been sort of rumours for a long time because they've put quite a lot into that ride. It's a recent ride. It only arrived in 2013, quite a few years after the park opened. And it's got a soundtrack by Danny Elfman, which is a big composer to do a theme park ride like that.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of people kind of going, there's a lot of things that point to this being groomed for a new film.
Oh, so this is rumour.
This is rumour. There's a lot, it's a kind of a known rumour. There's a lot of people talking about it, but it does make sense. And the lead character in that ride is this really nice little monkey character who would be quite a fun main character for a film, I think.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a really dramatic ride as well. It's a great ride.
Yeah.
So it's trackless. So it's like the Ratatouille ride in Paris and soon Florida, in that you're in a vehicle that doesn't move along a track like the sort of Omni Movers or the Doom Buggies, I think they're called in the other Haunted Mansion rides. It moves sort of apparently in random directions. It's not random, of course. But they look a bit like sort of dodgems, bumper cars, the way they move around on the floor. So and it's got loads of sort of back projection and cool video effects and stuff. It's a really good attraction.
I mean, I don't know enough about, obviously, the Ghost Festival to be able to say what they could and couldn't put into a film without getting into insensitive areas.
Territory.
So if any of our listeners do know anything about the Ghost Festival, the Chinese Ghost Festival, then tell us what is likely to be used and what might not
Is this utterly inappropriate content for a film? Yeah,
because it's interesting that they don't have ghosts in Mystic Manor, because it just suggests to me that maybe that would be frowned upon.
What's another one?
So another attraction that could be changed into a film.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had an idea about the Tiki Room.
Right.
So the Tiki Room is a one of Walt's original attractions.
It's an animatronic show, right?
Yeah, so it's a load of animatronic birds.
Yeah.
In a tiki sort of environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And there's like through the windows, I think you can see exploding volcano.
Yeah,
and things
the
as
Polynesian
well,
landscapes. You've got little sort of totemistic statues of tiki gods banging drums, and eventually at one point you anger the tiki gods. And a rainstorm happens, doesn't it? Outside.
Yeah, that's right. And the birds, they're mainly things like macaws and things, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Wildly different colours, very colourful show.
Yeah.
And the birds are from different places. So bizarrely, you have like a German bird.
Yeah, weirdly, there's a German bird, an Irish bird, a Spanish one, and a French one.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Although I think they're all parrots, aren't they? Or macaws?
Those guys are... They're all the same type of bird, I think, yeah.
And they're definitely not indigenous to Ireland, Germany. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I did think, this could make a film. Migratory birds. I mean, birds do come from all over the world and they migrate. And so migratory birds on a Pacific island.
So very likely an Irish bird would end up in the Pacific.
Yes, although it's very unlikely that the Irish bird would be like a brightly coloured bird of paradise.
Yeah, it'd probably be like a sparrow or
the
something.
The bird of paradise from Derry.
Ah, sure. But maybe when they get to the Polynesian island, they have to put on a musical review.
Why not?
Maybe that could be the plot.
Or it could be like South Pacific, but with birds.
With birds. Yeah.
Well, there's loads of things you could do. I mean, there's already been a film about exotic birds, isn't there? An animated one, Rio.
You're talking about Rio,
DreamWorks?
That's DreamWorks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a hole in Disney's repertoire for a decent tropical bird-related film.
Yeah, yeah. And why not base it on the Tiki Room?
Well, you've got some great songs in there.
The tiki 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 room.
Yeah, but also there's the one that the girl. At one point, this big chandelier descends from the ceiling, and a load of like
sexy birds.
Yeah, sexy birds. Showgirl cockatoos come down, and they all sing. Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Tweet 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 tweet.
And I think at this point, the other birds are going, oh ha ha, she is a very look at her feathers,
magnificent plumage.
Look at the plumage on her.
Yeah.
What a beak!
Yeah,
etc.
What a magnificent beak!
Ah no, don't get many of them to depone.
Ah sure, down back in Derry.
Right. Anyway, so another attraction that we thought could be changed into a movie.
Yeah.
Big Thunder Mountain.
So Disney's most famous attractions, all of their various mountains, apart from Splash Mountain, which is based on Song of the South, none of them really have films attached to them, do they?
Yeah, I mean, Big Thunder Mountain would have to be a Western.
Yeah, for sure.
And you don't get many Westerns anymore, and it's probably because, well, they Westerns traditionally sort of have restyled history, haven't they?
They have.
They've kind of essentially worked as propaganda for the American dream.
And they don't have any women in them either as well.
Yeah, yeah. So understanding that girls make up a large part of the audience, yeah. I think maybe that's why Disney
The Westerns kind of died out a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
However, I think this is a good opportunity for Disney to do something new with the Western. Because so here's my idea.
Uh-huh.
So African-American cowboys, they've been completely underrepresented in popular
accounts. So they were a big thing, were they? African-American cowboys?
Yeah, yeah. So historians have estimated that 1 in 4 cowboys were black.
Really?
Yeah, 1 in 4. I mean, if you look at the Western films, how many black people do you see in them?
Well, apart from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And occasionally some slaves.
Yeah.
Like Django Unchained.
Well, a lot of them did start as slaves, but then post-emancipation, they were working as cowboys.
Yeah, because we're talking, you know, the great age of the American West is sort of 1890s, late 19th century, isn't it?
Mm.
So this is post-emancipation.
Yeah,
right?
So here's a quote from Smithsonian.com.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So right after the Civil War, being a cowboy was one of the few jobs open to men of colour who wanted to not serve as elevator operators or delivery boys or other similar occupations.
Right.
Says William Lauren Katz, a scholar of African-American history and the author of 40 books on the topic, including The Black West. So I think Disney being, you know, I think Disney's pretty great with the way it approaches subjects nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're definitely making up for some kind of lazy stereotypes that they had in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so, really pushing the feminist angle right
now,
which is great.
So in this article that I was reading about it, I came across one cowboy who I thought, ooh, they could make a film about this guy. So
yeah.
Bill Pickett. Born in 1870 in Texas to former slaves.
He sounds like the most classic cowboy ever.
Bill Pickett.
Yep.
And he became one of the most famous early rodeo stars.
Ah.
I mean, yeah, rodeo. You can have a lot of fun with rodeo because rodeo's
for sure.
Got kind of comedy worked into it as well, hasn't
it? Yeah, it's inherently a bit funny, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But also, this is a tale of triumph over adversity.
Right.
So, Bill dropped out of school to become a ranch hand, and he gained an international reputation for a unique method of catching stray cows. Now, listen to this. So, modelled after his observations of how ranch dogs caught wandering cattle, Pickett controlled a steer by biting the cow's lip, subduing him.
Oh my God.
I don't know, no wonder that subdued a cow. The cow was probably like, what the hell is this guy doing?
That's the most bizarre method
or
of subduing.
What the hell is this guy doing?
Biting a cow's lip?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you even do that?
I have no idea. I was trying to imagine him, actually. He's either kind of like clamped onto it, like onto the belly of the cow.
Yeah, he must be hanging underneath
up.
It. Cause
or he's... No, actually, you get trampled, wouldn't you? So maybe he's on the back and he's hanging over the head.
Well, or it might be
Is
kind
it the
of...
the upper lip or the lower lip?
Yeah, good question.
I don't know, but...
Oh, God, the mind boggles at that.
But good luck animating that, Disney.
So maybe he has come to town to take part in the Big Thunder Mountain rodeo competition.
Yeah.
Set against the glamorous backdrop of the Thunder Mesa Mining Corporation.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe, oh, and giant corporations in films are traditionally the bad
They're
guys,
evil,
aren't
so,
they?
So, yeah.
They're the ones trying to blow up the school.
Hey, maybe you could even have the principal villain be Henry Ravenswood. Who is the in the sort of lore of Phantom Manor in Paris? He's the guy that owns the haunted house on the hill.
Oh, yeah, of course, because they're connected, aren't they?
Yeah.
So Big Thunder Mountain is directly next to...
Paris's haunted mansion, Phantom Manor.
And their stories are interlinked.
The stories are connected, yeah. Yeah. So the guy who runs Thunder Mesa, which is the big mine train corporation, he has that house. And then I think it's actually... His daughter is the bride, and
and she gets stood up, doesn't she, at her wedding? Maybe she gets stood up by Bill Pickett.
Bill Pickett.
So
like a big western set in Thunder Mesa about Bill Pickett, the famous black rodeo star who bit cow's lips.
I mean,
that's disturbing.
Or it's genius.
It may be.
It made him an international star.
So maybe it would make for an international fun family movie.
Yeah. Well, Disney have taken some really interesting subjects and they've made things out of them.
Yeah, they
have. I mean, look at Inside Out. Who could have thought that a story about basically a pubescent girl
struggling with some mental health issues.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you turn that into a fun film. I mean, a fun, incredibly touching film.
I think Inside Out is one of Pixar's best films, if not possibly its best film.
Really?
Yeah, I know that's contentious. I mean, Toy Story 3 probably would top the list personally for me, but I think Inside Out is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. So, you know, difficult subjects. It doesn't matter if the subject is difficult.
Yeah.
Disney
can
do it.
They can do it.
Yeah. And actually, they may be biting a cow's lip.
Yeah. Maybe, no, maybe that's not really a difficult subject.
Far.
That's quite a simple subject.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a subject of going, nope.
But you couldn't ignore the racism of the time either.
Yeah, that would have to be the main thrust of the narrative, wouldn't it? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But we need that. We need true stories.
Yeah. And they're not afraid to shy away from that sort of thing, are they?
Yeah, and it's about time that all the films that try to rewrite the past, and really think about how strong the propaganda of films is.
Oh.
I when you grow up and you watch films, you kind of think, oh, well, it must have been like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't question it at all.
No.
So having something that helps to right that wrong.
Yeah, it's going
to
undo some of history's wrongs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so moving on to the last ride that we were thinking of. Expedition Everest.
Yeah.
And the Matterhorn.
Yeah, true. So these are two Disney mountains in different bits of America with kind of different theming, but they have one connecting element, which is the Yeti, which is a little odd, given that the Matterhorn...
And they're both mountains.
Mountains, but they're kind of snowy mountain rides, roller coaster rides. But having the Yeti in the Matterhorn is a bit odd, because the Matterhorn, as we had to check just before recording this, is in the Alps. Which
Does
is
it
kind
have
of not really
traditionally
the place
to... a big hairy thing wandering around it?
What the Alps?
Well, the Matterhorn in
maybe
particular.
They have men with beards.
But maybe that's it.
But
maybe there was a sighting.
Yeah, I don't know specifically that the Yeti is anything other than Nepalese.
Yeah. So there's no myth attached to the Matterhorn.
Not the Alps.
There might be with altitude sickness. You know, people start hallucinating. Maybe they're like, oh, what's that over there?
Yeah. Where does the abominable snowman? Is that the same thing as the Yeti?
Yes, I believe it is. Because you get Bigfoot. Bigfoot is American, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Sasquatch, isn't it?
Yeah, and I believe that's North
American.
Yeah,
that's kind of Twin Peaks territory.
Yeah.
Lots of big trees and Douglas firs and that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But he's at a lower altitude, Bigfoot, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. There's no snow where Bigfoot is.
Oh, I think there is, but I think so.
It's like dense forest and stuff where he's found, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's kind of Canada region, isn't
it? Right, maybe so.
I don't know. We might have to fact check this.
Yeah.
But yeah, Expedition Everest concentrates on the Nepalese Yeti myth.
Yeah, and there's a very strong theming... Nepalese theming there, isn't it? It's a beautiful ride.
Oh, it's great.
Expedition Everest, I think it's Disney's best roller coaster.
Yeah. Debatable, and we have debated it in previous podcasts.
We have, but
so
I still think it's second to none.
So anyway, what kind of film would we have with Expedition Everest?
Well, I mean, it would take a darker tone than the only other Yeti character that I can think of in any of the Disney Pixar canon.
Well, the Yeti from
Which
Monsters
is
Inc.
the Yeti from Monsters, Inc.
Do your Katzenberg impression.
Welcome to the Himalayas!
I'm the Yeti!
I brought more snow cones!
It's a great voice! So can't do it!
it's in every Pixar voice. He's the guy that's in all of... He plays
He's
Ham...
the pig?
He's Ham the pig. He's the big pickup truck in Cars. He's in all of them. He's Mr. Great. Ray, I believe, in Finding Nemo. Or maybe not. But he's in all of them in some capacity, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the best...
Yeah, he's originally from Cheers, isn't he? Yeah, that's his thing.
So the Yeti from Monsters, Inc. basically needs its own film.
Do you think that he would be the appropriate subject for
that? Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't know what the film's going to be about.
Well, it'd be quite cool. I mean...
The Yeti in New York City, that kind of thing. Oh, no, he's gone on an escalator the wrong way.
Yeah, cue a load of, like, King Kong parody stuff about him climbing up the Empire State
Building. Oh, yeah, and little old lady's going, I love your costume!
Yeah, yeah.
And then tugging on it, and he's going, oh!
Whoa, watch it, lady!
Yeah. Oh, it's not a costume! Oh, you're a bad man!
Yeah, I think this could be a fun film.
Yeah, although maybe actually keep him in Nepal.
Well, it would be sticking with what we were just talking about, which is Disney basically using the... culture and sort of traditions of a particular country as the springboard for story and narrative and theming of a film, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
so to have a strong Nepalese theming with the Yeti as the sort of central MacGuffin would be a really cool film.
Oh, but what would they talk about? I mean, what, like, there's some dodgy history there as well.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And they might not be welcome back in Mystic Manor, for instance.
No, perhaps not. Maybe they've got to choose between the Yeti film or the Mystic Manor film.
Yeah, or do Yeti in New York.
Yeah, let's just make it simple. Just put John, just have him start off on Expedition Everest, essentially, and then get on a plane and go to New York.
Stop tugging my hair. Oh, take your question.
That's the only scene that we've really nailed so far, but I do feel that we have nailed that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So that's us doing some more Imagineering.
Yeah, yeah.
To why a very high standard.
Why haven't we got jobs? I suppose there was also Tomorrowland.
Oh, yeah.
There was that film, wasn't there, Tomorrowland? We haven't seen that film.
Tell me about it.
Well, I don't know anything about it other than that it was called Tomorrowland.
When did it come out?
Not very long ago, a couple of years ago. Had George Clooney in it. And
it was based on Tomorrowland and Disney.
Yeah. So the poster had a sort of... a kind of big, massive, futuristic fictional
city.
This
is very bad that we haven't watched it. We have not done our homework.
No, but that's only literally just occurred to me now. And I think on the poster, you can see the outline of Space Mountain in amongst the buildings in Tomorrowland.
This slipped below my notice.
Yeah. I don't think it did very well. Maybe it wasn't any good either. Maybe there's a reason Disney aren't turning their rides into films.
I tell you what the reason is. Uh-huh. They haven't hired us to write them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, and the only
Take
other thing about
Take off your
that...
costume!
Yeah, it's not a costume, lady! Yeah. It's just that for an hour. An hour and a half.
Oh, a Yeti being assaulted by...
Yeah, just John Ratzenberger as a Yeti in New York being assaulted by an old Jewish lady.
I love your coat! Oh, it's not a coat! Oh, fur is murder! Murder! Fur is murder! Take off your coat!
Well, need we say more? We've smashed this.
Okay, great.
So let's quit while we're ahead.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
We were talking about movies.
Thanks for watching us lose our minds. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to another rambly episode of Adults Do Disney. If you want to send us an email or offer any suggestions for other rides that you would like to turn into films or anything else for that matter, please email us on adultsdodisney@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook @adultsdodisney. Bye.